This morning, I just want to say thank you to leadership, to our elders, to our deacons, for allowing me to be able to share the word once again with our church family. I thank you. I thank you, and I consider it a privilege and an honor to do so. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, illuminate this word for us today. Let the message of the gospel come to us in power. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to start by reading Psalm 99, which was a prayer of Moses. It says, "The Lord reigns, let the peoples tremble. He sits enthroned upon the cherubim. Let the earth quake. The Lord is great in Zion, and he is exalted over all the people. Let the praise of your great and awesome name be heard. Holy is he. The king in his might loves justice. And you have established this. For you have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt the Lord your God and worship at his footstool, for he is holy." Moses and Aaron were among his priests. Samuel was among those who called upon his name. They called upon the Lord, and he answered them. In the pillar by cloud, he spoke to them. He kept his testimonies and the statute that he gave them. O Lord our God, you answered them. You are a forgiving God to them, but an avenger of all wrongdoings. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy. Amen? Amen. Today's scripture is also found in Exodus 33. I'm going to begin in verse 12. Now, this is when Moses, let me give you a little background before we jump right into this. This is when Moses is interceding on behalf of the people. Now, we heard it in his prayer in the Psalms, but this is when they've set up the temple. They've set up the opportunities that they had created by law to reach the people, to have that relationship with God. And here we find that Moses is struggling. He's struggling because they had the cloud by day and the fire by night, but he knew he wanted more of a relationship. He knew that he had to really intercede on behalf of the people. So this brings us to this prayer now, when he goes up the mountain and he's going to have this dialogue with God. It says, Moses said to the Lord, verse 12, "See, you see me. Bring up this people, but you have not let me know who is going to come with me. Who will you send with me? Yet you have said, 'I know you by name,' and you have found favor in my sight. But now, therefore, if I have found favor in your sight, please show me your ways. Please let me know this order in the favor that I found. Consider, too, this nation of people that I must lead." And God said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." And then Moses said, "If your presence will not go with me, do I not bring this up from here? For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight and in your people? Is it not this that we're going with, so that we are not distinct, and I and your people, from other people on the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, "This is the very thing that you have spoken that I will do for you, because you have found favor in my sight. I know you by name." And Moses said, "But please show me your glory." I'm going to repeat that again. Moses said, "But please show me your glory." And he said, God spoke back to him and said, "I will make all of my goodness pass before you and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy." But he said, "You cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live." And the Lord said, therefore, behold, there is a place by me which you will stand in the rock. And when my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft of that rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. And then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but no one shall see my face. This is the word of the Lord. We see that Moses desired to have this relationship with God. And what we see in this intercession is a dialogue. It's something that he was speaking to God and God was speaking to him. You know, I tell you often that God always does some kind of object lesson with me. I don't know why he can't just speak to me. Why can't I just go be quiet somewhere, go in your prayer closet, and I talk to God and he speaks to me and we can call it a day? Oh no, not in my world. God has to do something bigger. Maybe because I'm Italian and a little thick-headed. I don't know what the reason is, but he does that to me. So many of you saw the ladder up here, and please don't blame Bruce. He did not forget to put something away or anything like that. I brought it, just to show you what had happened. So the other day, I was in my garage. This past week, I had taken some vacation days, and while I was in there, I'm starting to go through my Christmas stuff, my holiday things, because it is fast approaching. Between Operation Christmas Child, Thanksgiving, Christmas, it just kind of hits. So I was getting some things organized, and I have this bike, and it was pouring rain outside, so I didn't want to really pull out my car, so I was trying to work around it. So I'd get this box, I'd move this bike, I'd get this box and work through it, getting some different things set, and then I'd have to move the box and put the bike back to get the other box, to move the bike, to get another box. And I thought, okay, wait a minute here. We've got to make this a little bit more efficient. Now, I rent this place, and so the landlord had installed this pulley system for your bike to be raised up. I thought, I never used it yet. We're going to try this. So I thought, you know, I'm a pretty intelligent person. There's a pulley, two pulleys on either side, and two hooks. So you just put your bike on it and pull it up, right? Sounds pretty simple. Yeah, no, because they have the locks and you have to adjust this. So there were two sets of them, and one was closer to the wall and one was right where my bike was. So of course, I did the easiest one, the one right where the bike was. So I released all this rope off this bracket on the wall, and down came crashing down the pulleys. I said, oh, well, this is okay. So I hooked up my bike, and I'm pulling it up, and the bike's up. And I thought, why didn't I do this a long time ago? I've been trying to struggle getting in and out. So I had the bike up. I wrapped up all the rope. I was good to go, right? Yeah, no. So under the bike, I went to get the box and moved it over, and down came the bike. Yeah, on me, actually. So I said, okay, all right, it's not as simple, and I'm not as intelligent. So I said, well, there's got to be some kind of locking mechanism or something to get this bike out of the way. So now comes my stubborn Italian I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to figure this out. So I was moving it to the left, moving it to the right, and I hooked back up that bike, and I hoisted it up, and I pulled it, and I thought, well, this bike still seems to be in the way. I'm going to put it on that other pulley, the one closest to the wall. So I undid this. Now, granted, I know this sounds like a long story, because it is. Hours I was spending putting this bike up and down. I'm like, what is the matter with me? So I put the bike against the wall, put it on that pulley system, got it locked, secured, actually tugged on the bike. Nothing came down. I conquered it. I was happy. I turned around, and the other pulley system that I was using, one pulley was down, literally off the rope, and the other one was still up. I said, what? How did that happen? I wasn't even working on that pulley. So out came the ladder, because I'm going to figure it out. So up the ladder I went. Don't worry, I'm not going to fall, guys. Up the ladder I went. So I'm looking at the pulley that worked. I'm looking at the pulley that I was able to lock into. I'm looking at the pulley that I yanked on that bike. It worked. It was in good operating order. And then I look down at the ground, at the wheel, at the other part of the pulley. The rope was on the other side. And I thought, I've got to fix this. So I looked on the other side where the pulley was still attached. And I said, well, the rope's going through here. And this is how it locks. But down there is just a mess. I got to make that look like this. You see, when I got up on the ladder, I changed my perspective of things. It was a little easier to understand this pulley system when I'm looking at it where the bike was that's working. I was right there. I said, okay, so when I do this, this happens. When I pull this, that locks. Okay, and that's where the cord goes. Okay, and it goes through that hole and it drops down. See, so when I changed my perspective, when I climbed up on the ladder, I knew how things were going to operate. I knew how things were going to work. It wasn't going to be trial and error anymore. It wasn't going to be a bike falling down on me anymore. It was going to be the right way because I see how it works. So now, I said, God, you could have told me this just a little simpler than a bike falling on me. And you know what God spoke to me? No, I couldn't. No. Because one thing that I do know is that when you experience something, there's something that you have more power to proclaim. When you experience something, you have some credential behind what you're saying, don't you? If you can hold somebody's hand that maybe has cancer or a sickness, you can hold somebody's hand. You can be compassionate. You can show that love of Christ. But oh, when you have a cancer survivor holding your hand, or somebody who has gone through it, doesn't that just do something more? So see, we have here, Moses was having a dialogue with God saying, God, listen, you've created this. You've shown me how to make this temple with the table of showbread, with the tabernacle, the whole thing, and we do it. And we know it's the right thing to do because you've given us specific instructions and we have followed everything. You give us a cloud by day to follow and a fire by night. And we've done all of that. But God, these people still are not getting it. They're not getting what I have with you. They're not getting. I'm interceding on their behalf. I'm telling you, God, show me your glory. So when I go down that mountain, I can tell them that I've experienced God in a real way. And that's what Moses did. You see, we have to make sure that in our Moses experience, that we have that vertical dialogue, that we have that first and foremost relationship solid. It's your dialogue with God. It can't go on what the preacher says on Sunday. That can help. It can't go on your television sermons that you might listen to. That may help. It can't go on the Christian radio songs that you devoutly listen to. That can help. But there has to be those experiences when you go up the mountain and have that dialogue with God. When you have that conversation, when you have that relationship with Him. Because let me tell you, when you do have that relationship with Him, when you come down the mountain, people are going to know. See, Moses, the story goes on, and I won't go on, I promise. But the story goes on that when they came down, there was a glory about Moses. There was something different, and they were asking about it, saying, Moses, what happened up on that mountain? And he was able to say, I asked God to show me his glory, and he did. God is faithful. Even when we're unfaithful, God was faithful, faithful to his people. Even when they turned away, he's faithful. Church, I bring it as a whole church, universal. We have a whole lot of glory that we're able to show the people in this world that really need it. Can I get an amen for that? Our world is in desperate need to see God's glory. Our world is in desperate need to see God's love. Our world is in desperate need to see God's compassion. Our world is in desperate need to see God. So if we are called as Moses was, the least we can do is go up that mountain, have a dialogue and intercession with God, get our relationship with him right, get our relationship and dialogue with him so in tune so that when we come down that mountain, when we come down and we start to go into our workplace, when we go into our church, when we go into our community, people truly see the glory of God in and through us. Now, was Moses perfect from that point on? No. Mm-mm. No, he wasn't. But you know what he did do? When he knew that things weren't going right, he went to the place that he can climb back up that mountain. It wasn't a one-time deal. He didn't just go up the mountain one time, everything was good. He went up that mountain again, and he stayed. You see, God promises that we will see his glory. He even goes on in this scripture that he says, we're going to see it in such a powerful way that we can't even contain it. And at that moment, he hides us in that rock. He hides us in that place because it's scary. I wasn't exactly excited to keep going up and down a ladder trying to get this bike up on this pulley. Trust me. You know? Up and down, up and down. But boy, when it was, I was showing everybody. Friends came over that night. You know, I had to bring them in the garage so they could see that. Look at my bike's hanging. Look, look, look what happened. Yeah, I know I smell methylated because I have more Bengay and everything else all over me because, you know, the bike fell on me. but look it. My bike's hanging. Look, it's not going to come down. Like, I was just so excited. Why? And can we be just as excited about the things of God? To show his glory. Can I go into my workplace? Can I go into the community and say, today is the day that the Lord has made, and I am going to rejoice and be glad in it. Why? Because I went to the mountain. I had a talk with God. And now I'm here to show his glory to his people. So today, that's my challenge. It's my challenge to myself. It's my challenge to my family here at First Pres. It's my challenge to anyone listening to the CD. It's the challenge to everybody in the community. It's a challenge to the body of Christ. Let's show God's glory in all that we do. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let us stand for our hymn, Cornerstone. Is this in your way?
Nope.
Dressed in his righteousness alone.